Hey, good morning, everyone. Pastor Dale here. It's so good to be able to welcome you to worship this morning here at Central Church. I do hope you're doing well and feeling God's goodness and grace in your life, even during this time of COVID fatigue that we're all so well familiar with. But let's continue to be safe. Let's continue to love and care for those in our realm of influence. And let's as well continue to pray for our land and for its healing. And most of all, let's continue to keep our minds on, and hearts focused on that good news that this world is still headed toward a Christ's hope-filled direction. So keep that hope in your heart and share it whenever you're able to do that. Hey, I want to say if you're watching today, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you're connecting with us, and if there are others who are connecting as well, we'd love to hear from you. It's great to see those names as well. I think as we gather online, it's just a way to remember our friends and form community around that. And if you're connecting for the first time today, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, I want you to know we continue our work of pointing toward that time when we'll gather here in the sanctuary for in-person worship. Our slated date for that is the 13th of September, that Sunday after Labor Day weekend, the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, rather. And if you're thinking that's the right thing to do, we invite you to come and join us for that. If you're not too sure, you're a little cautious still, that's okay too. But just want you to know, we'll continue to offer quality online live streaming services and as well our radio broadcast. Our regathering task force is kind of wrapping up its work on in-person worship protocols and practices so we can have both a safe experience here but also a meaningful one. We're also planning to shoot a kind of a fun video, and we're going to get out to you soon so you can know what to expect when you do come for worship. But as always, I would say, watch your Friday e-news, check out the website for all the latest information, and if you have trouble with that, please just call us at the office, shoot us an email. We'd love to help you get connected. Lastly, I want to say that our guest preacher today is Amy Brown from the NOAA Project, which is based out of Central United Methodist Church, downtown Detroit, helping the hungry, the homeless there, the hurting. Ann Porter, who's a member of the mission team, is going to tell you a little bit more about Amy in just a moment. But having Amy here is part of our mission emphasis this month, where we're focusing on the many mission projects that our mission committee organizes and helps to fund on our behalf. Hopefully you got a letter with some information about that, and along with that, an envelope. If you didn't, there's a way to give online today also, but I just encourage you to give generously to that mission budget. In all, our mission team budget is something like, it's over $40,000 a year, so it's important that we have good offerings to meet those needs and care for those people around the world. All right, thank you, and let's lean into worship together.
Please join me in the call to worship. A drop of water. Insignificant in isolation, but when dropped into a pool, the ripples move out into infinity. The water is changed by one drop of water. As we gather for worship, a drop is falling. Now, into the pool of our spirit, the water begins to ripple. Oh, people of God, as we consider the magnitude of a drop of water to touch and change the pool of this hurting world, may we open to the power of Christ's touch in our lives and the potential of our lives to touch others. Come, let us worship.
God, whose love is reigning o'er us, source of all. Hear the universal call. worship new. Word of God from nature bringing, springtime green and autumn gold, mountain streams like children singing, ocean waves like thunder. Tale is told. Holy God of ancient glory, choosing man and woman too, Abram's faith and Sarah's story formed a people bound to covenant new again in Jesus, star child born to set us free, sent to heal us, sent to teach us how love's children we might be. Alleluia, alleluia, risen Christ our Savior. Lift we then our human voices in the songs that faith would bring. Live we then in human choices, lives that like our music sing. Alleluia, alleluia, joy.
Hey, good morning, children. Pastor Dale here, and I look forward to having a few minutes of time with you. I've got a fun message for you today and a good question for us to think about. So I'm wondering, are you enjoying your summer vacation? You know, vacation is time where we get a break from the usual things that we're required to do. Vacation is supposed to be kind of a fun break. How's your vacation going? Now, I know that it's a little different this summer because of this whole COVID thing. Maybe you're not able to be with your friends as much, or when you are with your friends, you're wearing your mask and being safe. I understand all of that, but I do hope you're still having some fun this summer. You know, I think about summer, and I think about vacations. I think about things like eating lots of ice cream and popsicles. I think about swimming. I think about getting to stay up late and run around the neighborhood. I don't know if you get to do that, but that's a lot of fun, getting to stay up late, right? Maybe play some baseball. What do you like to do during the summer? Well, here's my question for you about vacation. Do you think that God takes a vacation? What do you think? Does God ever need a break? Does God ever get tired of saying, you know, I don't want to be in charge anymore. I'm taking a vacation. I wonder, does God ever get tired of being with us? You know, need a break from us? I think sometimes we need a break from each other, you know, families, maybe brothers and sisters need breaks from each other too, but does God ever need a break? Well, in our Bible, in the book of Psalms, I think there's a pretty neat answer to that question, and I want to read it to you this morning. It goes like this. Where can I go from your spirit, God? Where can I run from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the earth, you are there. If I rise with the sun and travel to the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand will hold me fast. Now, as I hear that, it says to me that God doesn't get vacations. But even more importantly, it says to me that God doesn't want a vacation, that God enjoys being with us, loving us, helping us, guiding us in our lives. that God enjoys coming alongside us when we're sad and reminding us in our spirit that it's going to be okay. You're loved. You're loved. That when we're laughing and having a great time, God is laughing with us. When you feel good and warm and life is good, we remember it's because of God's goodness and love always with us. So today, as you kind of wrap up your vacation, maybe think about school and how that's all going to work out for you this fall, I pray that you would enjoy these last few weeks of break. And I pray that you would also be that loving presence that comes around those you are with, even as God comes around us and loves us, and share the love of Jesus with them. Say, you are loved, and you are called to be God's children in the world. So go in strength today, and have a great week.
I've been looking forward to praying with you. We pray together as the church, and it is so important. I think when we gather as a community for prayer, we bring all of our whole assortment of emotions and hopes for the world. And every bit of that is welcome here, and I hope you bring that very close as we lean in toward God here. You know, you might, like me, be thinking about neighbors who are struggling, or maybe people all across the huge, great city of Beirut, Lebanon, as their city has just imploded with that terrible explosion a few days ago. Or what about parents and teachers and children preparing for school? All those things are worthy of us praying grace over them and praying for God's blessing in their life. So I want to ask you to engage with me of a prayer, a video prayer. So this is a prayer. You don't have to close your eyes. Leave your eyes open and experience these next 3 minutes, a prayer by the great Howard Thurman, great deep thinker and mystic and Christian leader who was a mentor to Martin Luther King Jr., among other people. This is a prayer of his. Let your heart open, that you might pray these words for yourself and anyone else who's on your heart today.
Lord, Lord, open unto me. Open unto me light for my darkness. Open unto me forgiveness for my sins. Open unto me tenderness for my toughness. Open. open unto me love for my hates. Open unto me thyself for myself. Lord, Lord, open unto me.
And, O God, we bring our deepest emotions at their height and at their lowest before you and your throne on behalf of the whole world as we pray for the world in the very spirit that Jesus Christ has given us when he taught all people to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and all the glory now and forever. Amen.
Our scripture for the day comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To God be the glory and the power forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As a member of the missions team, I am proud to have Amy Brown here from NOAA. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her before she introduces herself a little more. Originally from Alabama, Amy graduated from Birmingham Southern College in 2004. She then made her way north to Detroit and to the NOAA Project as a US 2 missionary, a two-year volunteer program through the United Methodist Church. After completing her time as a US 2, Amy received her master's in social work from Wayne State University while continuing to work part-time at NOAA. In 2008, Amy returned full-time to NOAA and assumed increasing responsibilities, moving from assistant project coordinator to interim director and finally being appointed executive director in 2013. In addition to her work with the NOAA Project, she serves as a trustee of the United Methodist Union and chairperson of the Detroit Continuum of Care, a coalition of homeless service providers working to end homelessness in Detroit. When she isn't working at NOAA, Amy loves hanging out with friends, cooking, and exploring Detroit and new places through running. Thanks again, Amy, for being here.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship today. I'm excited to be with you today and to share more about the NOAA Project and what we do and how we can continue to be in mission together. Before I share with you about NOAA, though, I want to share a little bit more of my story with you. I came to Detroit 16 years ago for a two-year mission commitment through the United Methodist Church, the US 2 program. I'm a lifelong United Methodist from Alabama. When I found out I was coming to Detroit, I was a little scared, but not because of the reputation of Detroit, but because of the winters. I'm sure it's nothing compared to what you have here in Traverse City, but it was going to be a drastic change from what I grew up with in Alabama. We had snow days simply at the hint of snow. Despite the cold and snow, during my two-year commitment, I fell in love with Detroit and the people of the city. Detroit is a city that has experienced much hardship, but from that hardship comes determination, compassion, and hope. I began to create community and home for myself in Detroit. Upon completing my 2 years as a young adult missionary, I decided to stay in Detroit for graduate school. I went to Wayne State University to get my master's in social work, and upon completing my master's at Wayne State, I returned to work full-time at NOAA as the assistant director and was named director in 2013. While my love for Detroit and the work here I do has grown over the years, every February, I question my choice. We are still in the middle of winter here in Michigan, and my parents in Alabama are beginning to have spring. I wonder, why am I still here? But then our glorious spring comes with the tulips and daffodils, and I'm reminded of why I choose to stay in Detroit. Also, there's a much larger reason why I stay in Detroit, and it's the community that is the NOAA Project. NOAA, which stands for Networking, Organizing, and Advocating for the Homeless, began in 1976 in Central United Methodist Detroit. It's in Central United Methodist, but the one in downtown Detroit, not the one here. It began as a lunch program. Staff and volunteers of the church realized that individuals who were low income and living place to place were struggling with lunch, and so they began to offer them lunch. For years, this was the only thing we offered. And then the church began to realize that the individuals who came in for lunch had other needs, housing, medical services, to connect with other resources, and community were just a few of those needs. And in the early 90s, NOAA began to build these programs around the bag lunch program. We have grown over the years to increase our bag lunch program from 2 days a week to four, created a community center with a computer lab, an art program, nurses on site 2 days a week, and are a mailing address for over 1,000 individuals, and in 2019 provided over 3,000 casework sessions where we met with clients one-on-one to assist with transportation, ID restoration, or connection to other agencies. The thing that makes NOAA different from other agencies is that we build community while doing this work. We often work with individuals who are on the edges and in need of services, but what we offer is something deeper. Let me share with you about Dion and help you understand the need for community. Most of the clients who come to NOAA initially come to get lunch. And this is how Dion came to us. Dion was staying in an abandoned house in Detroit that didn't have any electricity or water. He would come to NOAA for food and a place to charge his phone. He would work odd jobs to make ends meet when needed. He struggled with depression for many years, which made it difficult for him to keep a consistent job and a stable living situation. Dion came to NOAA over a year before he engaged with staff. He would come for lunch and sit on the side of our dining hall, charging his phone and either getting warm in the winter months or cooling off in the summer months. Dion was watching NOAA staff and seeing how we interacted with other clients. We introduced ourselves to him, and he learned our names, and we learned his. We offered services, but he was okay where he was. One day, he came in and asked to see a caseworker about help filling out an application for food assistance. We helped him with this, and we began to learn more about his living situation. We offered to help him get into housing and work with him through this process, but he wasn't ready yet and stated that he didn't think he deserved housing. So we kept offering lunch and a place for him to get away from the chaos of living in abandoned housing. After Dion began receiving food assistance that we helped him apply for, Dion asked for help getting his ID. We worked with him through that process, complicated and complex. But he realized we were not going to give up when it was hard. And then after continuing to come to NOAA and getting to know the staff and trusting us, he expressed a desire to get into housing. He had been okay living in abandoned houses and thought it was fine, but we had finally convinced him that he was also deserving of housing, where he could live safely at all times of the year. We worked with him to fill out the paperwork he needed to apply for housing and connected him with another agency that actually does housing placement and works to get individuals into housing. We trusted this agency, and then Dion trusted them also. We journeyed alongside Dion through this process, encouraging him when needed and being his support system. Last October, Dion was approved and got into his own housing. It was an exciting day at NOAA for Dion and NOAA staff. Just because Dion got into housing, his journey does not stop with NOAA. After being in housing for a couple of months, Dion expressed interest in seeing someone for mental health services. NOAA staff then worked to connect him with a mental health provider and began to address many of the underlying mental health concerns that Dion struggled with in his life. In addition to finding the support he needed to make changes in his life from NOAA, Dion also found something else, community, a community that accepted him as he was and welcomed him in, a community that cared about him, and when he wasn't around for a few days, asked about him, a community that cared and wanted what was best for him, a community that knew his name. As a church, this is the type of community I believe God wants us to create. Throughout the Bible, God talks about creating community. Jesus created community with the disciples. Paul created community throughout the New Testament in churches that he helped plant and begin. As you heard in 1 Peter today, we are reminded that community begins with love and hospitality. Also, this scripture reminds us to use whatever gifts we have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. There are a couple of things that stand out to me from this reading. First, we are all called to use whatever gift you have. Let me repeat that. Whatever gift we have, we all have gifts, every single one of us, including Dion. I believe that many of us are like Dion at times in our lives. We don't believe in ourselves and that we have gifts. But the reality is, we do. We are all children of God with gifts. And our gifts are important and needed. After reminding us that we have gifts, Peter then calls us to use those gifts to serve God. Service looks different for all of us. For some, it's checking on your neighbor who might live alone and is having a hard time because they're not able to see people during this time. For others, it's cooking a meal for someone who had surgery recently or lost a loved one. For others, it's volunteering at a local food bank or the church. It should not be the same for all of us. But what is important is that you have a gift and should be using that gift in service. I have found that over the years, this often creates community. This community is often messy and complicated and difficult to create, but it's also beautiful, full of hope, and a joy to be part of. In addition to sharing Dion's story, I want to share with you the story of another client who NOAA has worked with closely over the years, Brenda. Unlike Dion, who came into NOAA and didn't make his presence known for a long time, we knew when Brenda came into NOAA. She was loud and always starting fights with other clients in need of more services than we could provide. During her first couple weeks of coming into Bag Lunch, Brenda almost got into a fight with another client because someone moved her backpack, and she thought they were trying to steal her stuff. You see, she was carrying all that she had with her and was afraid of losing what little possessions she owned. Because we knew her name, we were able to calm her down and convince her to come talk to staff. We found out that Brenda had been living on the streets for the past couple of months and needed a place to stay. We tried to get Brenda into shelter, but unfortunately, there were no beds available that night. We encouraged Brenda to come back the next day, and we would try again. She did come back, and we were eventually able to get her into shelter. However, it didn't last long because she got into a fight with another client, and it became clear to us that Brenda needed more help than NOAA could provide. So we did what many of you do when you don't know what to do. We called on others in our community to help us out. We connected Brenda with other agencies that could help her. She kept coming into NOAA, and we eventually learned how to work better with her. She loved desserts and coffee, items that we generally have around NOAA. So we'd offer those to her soon after she arrived, so she felt special and cared for. She often acted out simply because she wanted to be heard. So instead of telling her to stop yelling or not be angry, we listened and agreed that it was hard to live on the streets. Brenda was in need of housing, but didn't have any of the documents she needed to get into housing. Her birth certificate, ID, social security card, anything of that nature. So we took the time to begin to work with Brenda to get those documents. One of the many basic services NOAA offers is being a mailing address for individuals. When you are homeless and moving around from place to place, You need a safe, secure, and constant place to get your mail, and we are that for over 1,000 people. We helped Brenda gather paperwork and send off for her birth certificate and then her Social Security card. I was never so happy to see that little blue card in the mail as it was when it came for Brenda. She received this important paperwork, and we offered to keep them at NOAA in our secure document storage, another basic service we offer. Many of the clients at NOAA are carrying around these precious documents with them because they don't have a place to live, and so they need to keep them with them. And I can promise most of you aren't carrying around your birth certificate or Social Security card with you. So at NOAA, we offer to keep these documents in a locked file cabinet for our clients. They can sign them out whenever they need them, and then once they're in their own place, we encourage them to keep them there. So once Brenda had enough identification, we took her to the Secretary of State and helped her get her ID, the last piece of paperwork she needed to finish applying for housing. We rejoiced when it came in, and again, we rejoiced again when it came in, and we were able to move forward and help her apply for housing. Brenda is now in housing and still comes back to NOAA, but rarely does she have outbursts or cause problems. Instead, she greets the NOAA staff enthusiastically and wants to tell us about the treasures she's found for her apartment at local resale shops. Working with Brenda took time and effort and us building community with Brenda. We would not have been able to do the work with Brenda if it were not for our relationships with other agencies. Brenda and Dion had been on the streets for years before coming to NOAA, and we journeyed with them to get into housing. While we are not able to work with every individual that comes into NOAA to get into housing, we try to work with them in other ways, whether it's helping them get identification or serving as their mailing address, assisting with basic hygiene items, or simply providing a mail. We do it all by beginning to create community. And this work would not be possible without churches like Traverse City Central. Your gifts allow us to take the time needed with our clients and to get to know them. At NOAA, we often hold our clients' hopes until they are able to hold them for ourselves. Thank you for helping us to be able to do this work. And I encourage you to find a way to hold hope for others in your work here in Traverse City. And again, thank you for helping us do this at NOAA in Detroit.
You know, a line from Amy's sermon that really caught me was, "We hold hope for others until they can hold it for themselves." Isn't that a great line? We hold hope for others until they can hold it for themselves. Friends, I think when we make our offerings, not just offering of self and intention, but really out of our treasures, when we leverage that in a consistent basis and offer that, it's letting God use us. And it's our way of holding hope for the world. These days that is so important. And you've heard these great reasons of outreach that happen not only in Detroit, but here as well, out of our church. So for these next few minutes, this is a time to make a gift. There's ways that appear on the screen that show you can give by through our website or through a texting apparatus or simply mailing in your gift. Or like a lot of us do, of having that standing gift that just always is automatically given to the church out of our checking accounts. May all those ways be a chance to just take a deep breath and say, God, I'm glad I'm investing in your agenda and your world here. I want to tell you something. Some of us on staff were really moved by an anonymous gift that came to help underwrite our outreach ministry. We're still preparing food and giving food to people who are hungry. And that gift is allowing us to make sure we're honoring all the hygiene around this quarantine with gloves and extra masks and compostable to-go containers that we give food away out of our front door to people who come requesting it. So for those ways and other ways you've been giving, thank you. It moves us very much. Let me speak a prayer over our gifts, and I'll hold the offering plate while I do that. God, for every intention of giving that we're moved to today, it's something of your Spirit moving in us. Thank you. It feels right and healthy and hopeful to invest in what you are doing in the world and certainly through your church. Bless the giver. Bless the gifts. May they go far and wide and impact people's lives in the message of the gospel. I pray this In the powerful name of Christ, as we now sing the doxology. Amen.
Friends, I want to return to the words of our scripture today as a way to send you out. Now, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift you have received. Speak the words of God. Serve with the strength of God. And may the love of God be lifted up in all you say and do. The Lord is with you. Go love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.